As we've been focusing on Advent this year, I've lit a candle each Sunday, and one of them has gone out, so we'll just do that again. It's not lighting. You're going to have to use your imagination and pretend it's lit, because it's not working. But today we're going to light a fourth candle in our Advent wreath, the candle reminding us of God's gift of love. Before we do that, let us remember the gifts of God symbolized by the other candles in the wreath. And each Sunday we focused on each of these words. The first of those candles was hope, the second, peace, and the third, joy. The fourth candle helps us remember that God is love. And that isn't lighting either. Yeah. I gotta find some new help around here. In the book of Deuteronomy, we find these words. For the Lord your God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And from the Gospel of John, we hear Jesus say, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Bible tells us that it is because God loved the world so much that Jesus came. The angel tells Joseph that the baby to be born will be called Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus demonstrated self-giving love in his ministry as the Good Shepherd. Because God loves us and came into the world to be with us, we ought to love and care for others. Jesus came to show us how to live that love. Advent is a time for kindness, thinking of those in need, and sharing with others. It is a time to love as we remember how God loved us by giving us his most precious gift. As God demonstrates his love for us, let us also demonstrate love for others. Let's pray. God, thank you for loving us, and we ask you to teach us to love as you have loved. May we always remember to put you first as we follow Christ's footsteps, that we may know your love and show it in our lives. As we prepare for our celebration of Jesus' birth, also fill our hearts with love for the world, that all may know your love and the one whom you have sent. Your Son, our Savior, Jesus. Amen. As we have been doing after I've done the Advent candle and just having a brief time of prayer, I do want to do that again this morning. Yesterday, unfortunately, I had to do another funeral for Todd Sterner. Some of you might know him from town. Todd was only 48, and he did pass as a result of contracting COVID. Todd had actually had a double lung transplant when he was younger. He had a kidney transplant that his father gave him when he was younger as well. He was born with cystic fibrosis and was told that he wouldn't live past the age of 18. And Todd was able to show the doctors wrong, but unfortunately he did pass the other week of COVID. So I had to do his funeral here and again stand before a group of grieving people at Christmas and my hope to remind them of what it means that Jesus has come. Also, Jill Armanis shared a prayer request to be praying for the staff and residents of Augsburg Center where she works. They've had an increase of COVID cases as well. And of course, all of our nursing care facilities, people working in that area have been dealing with a lot with residents and trying to do the best they can protecting the most vulnerable. And of course, many family members not being able to see their loved ones because of COVID and these lockdowns and things like that. So As we think about love, as we think about what God has shown us, I think it's important for us as followers of Jesus to, at the very least, be able to pray that they would experience God's love in the midst of very trying circumstances, that they'd be able to experience God's love as families, maybe this year not being able to celebrate Christmas like they did every other year. And so together, I just want to spend just a minute or two in prayer for the Sterner family and for Jill and for many who are experiencing what she is in the nursing care facility. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks this morning for the love that you have shown us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, you have called us to share that love with others. And Lord, I sought to do that yesterday with the Sterner family, who I know were experiencing lots of grief, not love, not the joy, hope, and peace that Christmas brings. And so, God, I pray that they were reminded of what it really means that Jesus has come. And Lord, I pray that they would experience that in their lives. And Lord, I pray that they would turn to you to find the love that they so need right now, the hope and the peace and the joy they are seeking in their lives. I know, Lord, can be found in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray too for Jill and for others who are working in the nursing care facilities. I pray for your protection of them as they try and serve the residents to the best of their ability, and specifically the places where COVID is on the rise, and of course we know those folks are the most vulnerable. And so God, we pray for protection, we pray for safety, we pray for strength, Lord, for perseverance. Lord, I pray that many of the residents in these places, in the midst of difficulty, Lord, would still be able to experience the love that can be found in knowing Jesus and what that means, that he has come on Christmas. And so, Lord, I pray that for them, and I pray, Lord, that you would use those in these places that are followers of Jesus to be able to be an encouragement in these residents' lives, to be able to be there for them and with them and try and bring them some hope and some joy and some peace in this time of difficulty, of maybe experiencing a Christmas, most likely experiencing a Christmas they've never experienced before, without loved ones gathered around them. And so, God, we pray that in the midst of these difficulties, your love might shine brightly through people like Jill, others who are followers of Jesus, demonstrating for others the love that you have shown us in sending your Son. And we pray in his name. Amen. We're going to have a special song again from the worship team to really convey exactly what it means that Jesus came. The love that God has shown us, the love Jesus has shown us, that he would willingly leave his throne. You know, we see all these, or we read about all these images of the angels proclaiming the glory of God. Jesus experienced that. Jesus deserved that, and yet Jesus willingly left all of that to break into our world. So let's be reminded of that as our worship team sings, How Many Kings? Thanks, worship team, as you remind us really of what love is all about, as God demonstrates that for us through his Son, that God would be willing to give up his Son for us, that Jesus would willingly come to earth for us. We're going to talk about what that looks like through Scripture. You guys can have a seat. Thank you. Through the letter that John sent to a group of churches to help them understand and really see what love is all about. We use that word love a lot in our language. Every language has a word for love. We have one word for love, really, that is trying to describe lots and lots of different things. And so as we've been doing the last number of Sundays, we're going to try and understand what this word means from a biblical perspective, as we try to do with hope and peace and joy. We'll do that same thing with love. And we've been using some videos to help us understand the definition of those words, because they, at the Bible Project, can do a much better job than myself of helping us do that. And they do it graphically. And they try and bring a lot of pieces together to define these different words. And this morning, we're going to have them help us define the word love, and then we're going to unpack that a little bit more in my message. So will you play the video on love?
So if you've heard of Jesus, you probably know about one of his famous teachings called the Golden Rule. Do to others what you would want them to do to you. And this, actually, is a restatement of something else that Jesus said, that the meaning of life is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's really beautiful, but what does he mean exactly by the word love? It's an unclear word in English, because you can love your mom and you can love pizza. And if the word love means the same thing in both of those cases, your mom's gonna feel real bad. So what did Jesus mean in his language? Well, first of all, this love your neighbor phrase is a quotation from the Hebrew scriptures, where the word for love is ahava. However, the language Jesus spoke and taught in from day to day, it was a cousin language of Hebrew, that is Aramaic, in which the word for love is rachma. But then, as Jesus' followers spread his teachings around the world, they translated them into Greek, using the word agape. But here's what's fascinating. The earliest followers of Jesus, who wrote the books of the New Testament in Greek, they didn't learn the meaning of agape by looking it up in ancient dictionaries. Rather, they looked to the teachings of Jesus and the story of his life to redefine their very concept of love. So one time, Jesus was asked about the most important command in the Jewish scriptures. And he first quoted from the ancient prayer in the Torah called the Shema. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. So love for God is the most important thing. But then Jesus quickly followed up by saying another command from the Torah was also the most important, to love your neighbor as yourself. So which is the most important, loving God or loving your neighbor? Jesus' answer is yes. To ask the question means you don't get his point. For Jesus, they are two sides of the same coin. Your love for God will be expressed by your love for people, and vice versa, they're inseparable. And so this makes it clear that for Jesus, agape love is not primarily a feeling for someone else that happens to you, like our phrase, I fell in love. For Jesus, love is action. It's a choice that you make to seek the well-being of people other than yourself. Jesus also went on to teach that genuine love for God and others means seeking people's well-being without expecting anything in return, especially from people who are in difficult situations who can't repay you even if they wanted to. According to Jesus, this kind of generous love reflects the very heartbeat of God. And he took this even further. Jesus said that the ultimate standard of authentic love is how well you treat the person that you can't stand. Or in his words, you shall love your enemy and do good to them, expecting nothing in return. For Jesus, this kind of enemy-embracing love imitates the very character of God himself. Now, we wouldn't be talking about Jesus still today if he had only said things like love your enemy. This is how he actually lived. Jesus was constantly helping and serving the people around him in very practical and tangible ways. And he consistently moved towards poor and hurting people who couldn't benefit him in return. He showed love for the forgotten ones, the people who usually fall through the cracks. And when Jesus eventually marched into Jerusalem, he made himself an enemy of the leaders of his people by accusing them of hypocrisy and corruption. But then instead of attacking his enemies to overthrow them, he allowed them to kill him. Jesus died for the selfishness and corruption of his enemies because he loved them. After Easter morning, Jesus and then his followers claimed that it was the power of God's love for the world that was revealed in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. As the Apostle Paul put it, God demonstrated his own agape for us in this: while we were still sinners, the Messiah died for us. Or in the words of the Apostle John, God's own agape was revealed when he sent his one and only Son into the world so that through him we could have life. And for John, then, this leads naturally to the conclusion, beloved ones, if that's how God has loved us, then we ought to show love for one another. So Christian faith involves trusting that at the center of the universe is a being overflowing with love for his world, which means that the purpose of human existence is to receive this love that has come to us in Jesus and then to give it back out to others, creating an ecosystem of others-focused, self-giving love. And that's the New Testament meaning of agape love.
So there's a lot happening in that definition of the word love. And as was displayed, our English term for love doesn't really capture everything that's taking place. And so the focus behind all these messages for our Advent series has been to try and help us see that these words that we use a lot in Christian lingo, that we hear a lot in church, that we say are supposed to define who we are, this idea of hope and peace and joy and love. We hear that all the time as Christians. My hope with this sermon series was to help us see that these words are more than just opening up some book and finding a definition. But it actually describes who we are. They actually get lived out within our very lives, especially in the midst of trying times. As I tried to point to us to the fact that our circumstances have very little to do with us experiencing hope and peace and joy. I made that and highlighted that point with each of those words, and that was a common thread for them. And there's a lot of people putting a lot of stock in 2021 being better than 2020. You've probably said that. You've probably heard that. You probably are praying to God that it has to be better than 2020. And there can't be much worse than 2020, is what we're saying to ourselves, maybe. But the idea of hope and peace and joy has very little to do with whether 2021 is better or not. God says you can still experience these things in your life, even if it doesn't change. And that's possible because of Christmas. That's why Christmas is so special. That's why through this time of Advent, we've been focusing in on it. And maybe as we focus on our last word this morning, love, this word is a little bit different than the other three. We can, and I've done this, I did this for the other three, we can't simply open up a dictionary in English and define the word love, because it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense in the same way that the biblical authors are trying to define that word love. We have lots of ways in which we talk about love. They use the example of saying, I love pizza and I love my mom. Well, hopefully you love your mom more than you love pizza. If you don't, you've got a problem. Probably something to do with pizza. You've got a big issue. Love is just, we use it all the time. And at one time, Leah loved Brussels sprouts. She loved eating Brussels sprouts. That's weird, I know, but she did. A couple months later, she doesn't love Brussels sprouts. And she likes this food. And so Jess makes it for supper. And you know what? She doesn't love that food anymore. So does she love it or doesn't she love it? We fall in and out of love pretty quickly. So our English word isn't going to really get us at what we're really after in terms of defining love. And even within the scriptures, there's multiple terms for love. In the Hebrew, which is from the Old Testament, there's a term for love. In the Aramaic, which is the language Jesus would have spoken. And when he's doing all of his teaching, he used a different word for love. And in the Greek, there's the word for love, and actually Greek has a couple of words for love. So how do we really understand this thing that we talk about a lot, we think about a lot, we use a lot, not just at Christmas, this idea of love? And why is it such a big deal in that we focus in on it at Christmas? And what is God actually doing at Christmas? What love is being displayed at Christmas? And so we know that, I hope, from the video and from your own experience, love is not simply some kind of an emotion, but maybe more so than the word hope and peace and joy, love in some way has to take some kind of action. So when I'm doing a wedding and there's two people standing here in front of all of their friends and family, and I'm standing before them, and they're professing their love for each other, Well, that love better go beyond just some words that they say, because they're about to devote their lives to one another. And so if love is just something they felt when they were out on a date, that's going to change when they get married and now doing life together. Love's going to have to take on more than just some kind of word that we use. It's going to need some action behind that. Well, yeah, you say you love me, but how have you shown that you've loved me recently? Love has this natural connection to some kind of action. Love is really more of a verb than it is a noun. And we know that love has to be more than a feeling because we don't always have that feeling. You don't always feel like loving the person you're married to, do you? Be honest. Come on. I know. We don't always have that feeling. When we think of Christmas, we think of this joyful, loving feeling that kind of wells up inside of us. But we know, as we can use in English, we've fallen out of love. Because so much of what we think about love, we think about some kind of feeling we're supposed to have, except what happens when those feelings are gone? Because love is really more of a choice. Love is more of a decision that we make, an action that we choose. Because you can fall out of love. Some people lose that loving feeling. Whoa, that loving feeling. I would sing it, but I can't, so I won't. But you know what I mean. I did sing it when I was dressed in my Navy uniform. It's like something you all have to do. It was terrible then and be terrible now. But the song is describing what a lot of, unfortunately, people experience, losing that loving feeling. And when you lose that loving feeling, you really don't feel like being with that person anymore. And we've really distorted the word love in our language. And the biblical authors are trying to give us the real picture of what love is all about. And John does that in a letter that he's writing to a group of followers of Jesus. And he's trying to help them understand this idea, this word, this life of love. What is it supposed to look like? What are we after when we think about love? This is how John says it in 1 John. Dear friends, the word can also be translated beloved. Dear beloved ones, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. So there, John, in a very concise way, actually gives us the supreme definition for the word love. When we hear that word love in the Bible, whether it's written in Hebrew, whether it's being spoken in Aramaic, whether it's written in Greek, the idea, the definition that we're after here in love is God's supreme demonstration of it. John tells us what it looks like. And it's a self-sacrificing kind of love. Who in the world would want to leave his throne in glory? What king would just lay down all of his title, all of his wealth, all of his power, everything that made him a king, and just throw it all aside for people that hate him? Who would do that? God says, this is love. that he would send his one and only son. This kind of love is self-sacrificing. Love, as we, as the biblical authors are defining it, is love that is action done on behalf of others for their well-being. That's the idea behind gift giving, is you are doing some action, you are buying a gift and giving it to someone else. This is what God has done. This is what Christmas means, and Jesus being that gift to us. God is performing in action on behalf of us for our well-being. And why this is a supreme demonstration of love is because there's really nothing that we can offer back to God. God has made the invisible visible through his Son. The hidden love of God. All of the scriptures talking about this wonderful thing of God's love. We hear it said. We hear it spoken. The readers of the scriptures, the ones who are writing all of this down, we're listening to it. And then God reveals his hidden love for all of humanity. And he's made it visible. And he made it visible through his Son. This is what love is. That God would sacrifice on behalf of others to benefit them for their own well-being. Jesus didn't have to do that. And yet he does. Paul records these words in a letter that he wrote to a church in a city called Philippi. He is also trying to help these Christians understand what love is. Love is more than a concept. It's more than some kind of abstract idea. It's more than some feeling that we get. Love is exactly what Jesus has demonstrated, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. This supreme act, this supreme demonstration of love, Jesus, who being very God, who was receiving glory and honor and praise from all the angels, connected to our Christmas stories of the heavens opening up, the skies breaking apart, and just angels praising God. And that's what Jesus experienced. And yet Jesus humbled himself, became a man, and was obedient to the point of death, death on a cross, so that God could demonstrate his great love through Jesus' atoning sacrifice. That's what Christmas means. That's what Christmas is all about. That's the love that we are speaking of. This idea that God loved us enough, though we could offer nothing in return, though we didn't deserve it. As we heard in the video, one of the scriptures they used is, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yet he enters into human history, breaks into this fallen, broken world, and gives himself for us. Love is seeking people's well-being without expecting anything in return. At Christmas, obviously, there's lots of gift-giving that happens. Maybe you exchange names. In my family, we exchange names because I couldn't afford to buy gifts for all of my family, all of their kids. It would just get way too much. But we exchange names, and we give a gift, and we receive a gift. And I'm sure many of you do that, and you have different, maybe office gift exchanges and stuff like that. Would you still do that if you knew you wouldn't get anything in return? Would you still offer those gifts? Would you still help somebody else out if you knew they could do nothing for you? You know, we have a saying that we use, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. If you do something for me, I'll do something for you. What if that person can do nothing for you? Would you still act on their behalf? Would you still do something for them, even though you could get nothing in return? Well, the scriptures tell us that that's what love really is. That's exactly what Jesus did. He acted on our behalf for our well-being, expecting nothing in return. And in fact, the only thing he received in return of his love for others is all of his friends deserted him on the night that he needed them most. He even gets down on his hands and knees and washes the feet of the very man that would betray him. Jesus showed his love even for his enemies, for those who turned their back on him. Love is seeking people's well-being without expecting anything in return. Jesus demonstrated his love for us, coming into this world. God demonstrates his love, John tells us, by sending his one and only Son, that we might have life through him. This is what God has done for rebellious mankind. He pardons our sins against himself, and he does that at his own cost. Salvation cost you nothing. It cost Jesus everything. That's what love is. And God expects nothing in return from you except for one thing. It's not all the generous acts that you can build up at one time of year in December and give more money to the church than you usually give, or give to this poor person or that poor person. And then from January till next December, we kind of don't even think about it again. There's only one thing that God really wants from you. It's your life. It's your willingness to do exactly what Jesus said, to love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't seem too costly to me. And yet so many people are unwilling to even give that to God. Love is seeking people's well-being without expecting anything in return. God has broken into human history and has pardoned our sin, our rebellion against him, the fallenness, the brokenness of this world. He enters into it on his own will. He leaves his throne in glory and he humbles himself even to the point of death, and the most humiliating death at that. Death on a cross, so that he might demonstrate his love for us. There's a song that we sing at Christmas, a carol that we sing every Christmas Eve. Judy Devlin usually sings that for us. You've heard it. It's probably my favorite lyric in all of Christmas carols. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. There's this brokenness that we all experience. And maybe 2020, we felt that more than ever before. I know there's a couple families that have felt that than ever before. This world is messed up. It is broken. And we are longing and yearning for something different. There's got to be something different out there. That something different is actually a someone who has changed everything. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and our souls felt its worth. Do you know how supremely valuable you are? God loved you enough to send his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to take on the pain and suffering that we experience all upon himself, at great cost to himself. And God has shown us his mercy. We've not earned it. We don't deserve it. And yet Jesus comes to show us his love by dying on a cross for us. The gift of Christmas is that Jesus would give his one and only Son so that you and I would not experience death, but that we might actually find life. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Love is self-sacrificing. If we're looking for a definition of what love is all about, Christmas is that definition. When you invite people into a relationship with God, you are inviting them to receive this gift. This gift that God gave at Christmas of his own Son. A self-sacrificing kind of love. An action done for the benefit of others. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's something very small that we tried to do, but it was trying to convey exactly what I'm sharing with you. This idea of the season of giving was just our effort to show other people God's love. That's what John is telling us, the invisible love of God. People maybe can't see it unless we demonstrate it. And that is what John is telling the people of this church that he's writing to. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. You and I will probably never receive anything back from the churches that we helped in Mexico. But we gave anyway, because we simply wanted to show the love of God through offering something small and saying, here, here's some funds to help you buy some food for your family. We're giving to Jewel Women's Center, to Teen Challenge, to our food pantry, to people that cannot give anything back to you. But in that way, we are trying to show the love of Jesus. It's nice to give gifts. It feels really good, though. I've done it. I hope you've done it, too. When you can give a gift to somebody and they can give you nothing in return. That is what we do as the church. You don't hear all these stories because I don't share all of them with you. But our church has probably dished out over $3,000 this past year, maybe more, to people who are struggling. We get nothing in return. We expect nothing in return. All we are simply trying to do is to show the love of God through our demonstration of action done for the benefit of others. That is what love looks like. I hope that is what you do for your spouse. That's what love is. An action on your part to benefit the well-being of the person you love. For your family. For each other as a church family. But Jesus extends that to the very people that can never give anything back to you. And in fact, he extends that to the very people that you don't even like very much. That person at work, that family member, that difficult person on the sports team, the club you're a part of. Love is an action to benefit the well-being of others. That's exactly what God has done through his Son Jesus. That is what makes Christmas, Christmas. That God was willing to give up his one and only son, that Jesus was willing to leave his throne, to pardon our sin, all at his own cost, that God would show his love for us in this, that Jesus would willingly come to earth, that he would live among us, he would humble himself to the point of death, even death on a cross, to show his great love for us. Christmas is worth celebrating because Jesus came. Christmas is worth celebrating. It doesn't matter if COVID changes in 2021 or not. Christmas is worth celebrating because God has demonstrated his love for you, and he demonstrated his love for me by sending his son Jesus. And on that holy night, our souls felt their worth. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks this morning for your love for us, the love that you have shown us through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I pray that this Christmas, as we enter into this final week, Lord, only days away now is Christmas morning, I pray, Lord, that we would not lose sight of why we are going to celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas because of Jesus Christ, because of your love for us, and we can experience that love in a very real way through the power of your Holy Spirit, God. And I believe that we experience that most when we are able to demonstrate that kind of love to others. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody in our lives that we need to do that with, I pray that we would demonstrate that love. Lord, I pray that our Christmas celebrations would be a reminder of your great love for us that has come to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand to sing our final song? But as we stand to sing that song, I want to read these words for you. Very familiar words, maybe not necessarily connected at Christmas, but nonetheless really speak to the love that we experience at Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. It is at the name of Jesus that this world finds its life, that you and I find life and experience love. That is what Christmas is all about. That is why we celebrate Christmas. And I pray this year you would experience the hope, the peace, the joy, the love that God offers through his Son, Jesus Christ. Thanks for being here this morning. We'll have our service. Thursday is Christmas Eve here at the church, if you're coming. If not, you can always watch us via live stream. If I don't see you then, have a Merry Christmas.